scripture reading and the following address were part of the YouTube streamed worship service from St Paul's Lutheran Church, Box Hill, Victoria, Australia, on July 14th, 2024. For more information, visit www.stpaulsboxhill.org.au.
Did anyone see or hear anything about gifts? Did Rowan receive any gifts this morning, do you think?
Yes.
He did, Ollie, didn't he? What gifts did he receive?
God.
He received God, exactly. Yes, God came to him in a very special way to show his love in baptism. God gave the gift of life in Jesus. What sorts of things did Rowan... What did you see Rowan receive today? What's a gift? Yeah, what do you think it is? The cross is a real gift, isn't it? Absolutely. And we made the sign of the cross when Rowan was baptised on his forehead with water and with God's word. It's a very special gift. It doesn't look like this gift, and this is a gift for Mrs. Otto, from someone today, because it's her birthday, but it doesn't look like this gift at all, does it? It looks like a very special gift of the Holy Spirit working in Rowan's life always. So you're very perceptive. I was expecting that you'd say, oh, Rowan received a candle, and he did. And Rowan received a faith chest, and he did. And all of those things can point him and remind him of God's gift for him, of the cross, and of God for him in his life, can't they? Those are very, very special gifts. And God has gifts for all of us, those gifts. And today with the big people, we're going to begin to explore the special gifts that God gives us for living out our lives. Gifts like we might be a good friend to someone, or we might help at home, or we might be a good sleeper, maybe. Or who knows what a good gift might be for our... And our parents might have good gifts for us, like having food for breakfast and all these sorts of things. So today we're going to explore God's gifts. And I just want you to know that as Jesus is in your heart, now you have the sign of the cross in your mind and also over your heart, like we made when Rowan was baptised, that you each as God's children are also God's gifts to others. You're a very special God gift, and God wants you to grow in always knowing the gift of Jesus for you. So let's pray, shall we? Loving Lord God, we thank you for the gift of Rowan and for all of these children. Bless them in their faith. Give them your care and protection and love. And help us all to grow up to bring your gifts in ourselves, in our hearts, to other people by the way that we live. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, you can grab some sheets, some activity sheets from Mr. Peter Carla over there. And another gift just for mums and dads. I didn't get a chance to speak about this one today, but a lovely book that was recommended to me by the Colston family, always good book recommenders, Your Special Gift by Max Licardo. Don't know if you know it, but for families, it's a lovely way of bringing us into that space where we know of God's gifts for us. There you go, Grandma. You want to take that?
Friends in Christ, we come now to our time of confession. You may remain seated or kneel. O Lord, be gracious to us. Look upon your people with mercy. Forgive our sin. Bring us back again as you have done before. And together, we confess to you, Almighty God, before the whole company of heaven, and to each other, that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed by our own fault. Have mercy on us for Jesus' sake. Forgive us all our sins and bring us to eternal life. Amen.
In Jesus Christ we have redemption and the forgiveness of our sins. For in the richness of his grace, Christ determined to save us, even at the cost of his own blood. So upon your confession, I, as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God to all of you. On behalf of my Lord Jesus Christ and by his command, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Peace be with you. Amen. And let's take a moment to greet one another with the gift of peace. Peace of the Lord. Peace.
No. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray for knowledge of what is right. Holy and merciful God, give us a clear vision to see what is right and true, and the courage to live by it, whatever the cost may be. We ask this through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for our readings. Thank you, Angela.
The first reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, reading from the third verse. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world to be holy and blameless before him in love. He destined us for adoption as his children through Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace that he freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace that he lavished on us. With all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure that he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time, to gather up all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In Christ we have also obtained an inheritance, having been destined according to the purpose of him who accomplishes all things according to his counsel and will, so that we, who were the first to set our hope on Christ, might live for the praise of his glory. In him you also, when you had heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and had believed in him, were marked with the seal of the promised Holy Spirit. This is the pledge of our inheritance towards redemption as God's own people, to the praise of his glory. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to Mark chapter 6, beginning at the 14th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some were saying, John the Baptizer has been raised from the dead, and for this reason these powers are at work in him. But others said, it is Elijah. And others said, it is a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, John, whom I beheaded, has been raised. For Herod himself had sent men who arrested John, bound him, and put him in prison on account of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, because Herod had married her. For John had been telling Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to kill him, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a righteous and holy man, and he protected him. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he liked to listen to him. But an opportunity came when Herod, on his birthday, gave a banquet for his courtiers and officers and for the leaders of Galilee. When his daughter Herodias came in and danced, she pleased Herod and his guests. And the king said to the girl, ask me for whatever you wish, and I will give it. And he solemnly swore to her, whatever you ask me, I will give you, even half my kingdom. She went out and said to her mother, what should I ask for? She replied, the head of John the Baptizer. Immediately she rushed back to the king and requested, I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter. The king was deeply grieved. Yet out of regard for his oaths and for the guests, he did not want to refuse her. Immediately the king sent a soldier of the guard with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl. Then the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard about it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading that we have for today is going to be the text for my address, written in Joshua chapter 24, and I'm reading from the 14th verse. Now therefore, revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and for my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord and serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. There might be a slide there that will come up with that image. You might have seen the image of a plaque at the start of worship today. that has those words on it. It's not actually a plaque, is it? It's a wall hanging, isn't it, of that verse. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And it lives in the house of the Garget family, who are members here at St. Paul's. And they've kindly shared that with us today. Maybe other people have got that in their house. We've actually got something like that in our place too. Anyone else got that one? No? Yes, the one over there. Thank you. So some of you will be aware of this text, I guess, along the way. We will serve the Lord. Lauren and Damien, I think, said this today without saying it, in bringing Rowan here for holy baptism, just as they had a few years back brought Alison also here to be baptised, to receive God's good gifts of grace for them. What a joy it is to welcome you all, everyone who's here to celebrate this today. Those words of Joshua, they were spoken a long time ago, but they also speak to us today as we consider what it is to be good stewards of God's good gifts. That is, to respond to God's amazing grace for us, to give in our lives as God gives already and first to us. As we come to Joshua chapter 24, the children of Israel are about to fully enter the land that's been promised to them after all their wanderings and all their waitings. They have been brought here by the Lord. They've crossed the Jordan, the place where Jesus will be baptized, by the way, isn't it? There's something significant about that cross going on there, I reckon. God here is the giver of the land. What a gift. It's God's land, but it's his gift for these people. And God's people are given his authority to enter the land, to enjoy it, to care for it, and to worship rightly in it. In short, they're called, I think, to be faithful God managers of this very, very, very special gift that God is giving. What will happen? What will happen? Well, they don't seem, and the human race with them to this point, doesn't seem to have much of a track record. Easily tempted away from God, the people readily do their own thing. In their journey towards this promised land, they've been grumbling against God. It's led to idolatry, unfaithfulness, and selfishness. And we know that selfishness is the direct opposite, isn't it, to God's grace, God's giving, God's life-filling giving. Because that's been the story from the start. God's amazing creative work. We know from the get-go of the scriptures, God is God. God has all authority and all power, and yet he creates us humans in his image. He loves his created humans and trusts them so much that he says, okay, it's yours. Care for it. Manage it well. Amazing. And of course, the first humans say, no worries, God. As for me and my house, we'll do this faithfully and joyfully. And what happens? Well, maybe we know the story. At the very first opportunity, the new management decides they no longer need to trust this God. And so comes the original sin that still clings to humans this day. They are corrupted. But what about then you and me as we are here today? God, just as we saw and we heard in the gifts for Rowan, has rescued all Christians from the punishment for sin, which is eternal death. As we heard in baptism, I love this little section when someone is baptized, your name, Rowan, is written in God's book of life. I love it. It's just the most perfect of gifts, it seems to me. Those of us who would be condemned have now been given this gift of life. This is the good news. This is God's grace. This is gift. And God says to his faithful ones, you and me today, in 1 Peter 4, this comes up in 1 Peter 4:10, It reads like this: like good stewards of the manifold grace of God, the many folds and layers of God's grace in life and for the world, serve one another with whatever gift it is that you've received. Doesn't sound too complicated to me. But how do you go with that? Are you like me sometimes, someone who struggles in actually doing that? Paul, the apostle, uses the word that we translate today often in the scriptures as steward to describe his calling in life. And next Sunday we're going to explore this a little bit further in our callings, our vocations and the stations we have in life. Paul, though, is an apostle, a steward, a manager, administering God's saving gifts for the whole world. That's his task. And this, I think, is the place for you and me to start our journey in reflecting on our giving as God gives to us. Today we've been blessed to witness God at work through the way he has gifted families with grace. We all rejoiced, didn't we, as Rowan was baptised. As Julie said before the service, there's always something very special when a little one is baptised in worship. We all made some promises along the way today, did you know? Commitments as people of faith, as parents, as godparents, and as the congregation, as sisters and brothers in Christ. Yes, we will do our level best to pray for you, Rowan, and show you a good way to live the faith. Rowan and his place in the kingdom of God is so important to us, I trust, that we want to be the very best stewards ourselves of God's gifts of grace for us. Not just today, but for every day. You know, Lutherans, and I love this sort of terminology, come along to worship to receive God's means of grace, God's giving to fill us so that we can be givers into the world. Giving as God gives always begins with God's gifts for me each day and God's gift for us as community as we start each week. Do we prioritise it in receiving them is my simple question. In receiving them with thanks, in receiving them in, as God's gift of love for us. How do you and I treat the gifts of God for us? Do we commit to worship and regular time with God to receive his gifts? God has planned a very special journey for you in life. It's a journey of growth, and he has you in his loving arms as his child. So let's start looking at these gifts of God. And today we're going to have a little focus. I'd like to invite Trina Bergman to come and join me. We're going to consider God's specific gifts for us in our lives. And Trina and her husband David, who's at the VicTAS Synod today, David can't be with us, a part of a team of people that is involved with Focused Living, a course that we do here, also with David and Chris Paik and others. And Trina, thank you. You're going to introduce to us something around spiritual gifts for us. Thank you.
Yes. So as part of our Focused Living course that we run here at St. Paul's, we've introduced a spiritual gifts session just to complement the other topics in the course. This topic isn't actually part of the official Focused Living course, but Pastor Alan Heppner, someone who's very dear to so many of us here, he introduced the spiritual gifts to the course when he ran Focused Living way back in the 1990s, and some of you probably remember that. And we feel that it's really valuable to explore spiritual gifts, and not only as part of Focused Living, but just as part of our everyday congregational life. So let's just take a look at what is a spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is a special ability given by the Holy Spirit to every believer, to minister to others and therefore build up the body of Christ. So that's every believer, no matter what your age or what you currently do. These gifts are in us and they're waiting to be discovered, to be developed and to be used, serving God and others through through our church family and everywhere we go. It should just start spilling out of us. And there are lots of different spiritual gifts. So the next two slides are a list of spiritual gifts that are actually listed in the Bible. These are some possible spiritual gifts that you might have, and each one of us will have at least one and most likely several gifts from these two lists, but not everyone, or no one actually, has all the gifts, so don't worry, you're not going to be completely overloaded. And as a church, we are one body with many parts, of course, and we need a variety of spiritual gifts in our church family. So if we all had the same gift, we wouldn't have an effective ministry, just as our body can't just be made up of lots of ears. We need every part to make it work, and we each play a really unique part in the body of Christ. He needs each one of us with our unique gifts. And so now there are some truths about spiritual gifts and some important things that the Bible tells us about these gifts. This isn't something that Alan Hepner made up. This is all from the Bible, and he very kindly introduced us to these things, and as has, of course, the Bible. The Holy Spirit handpicks our gifts individually for each one of us and can help us discover our gifts. So baby Rowan already has spiritual gifts in him, and it's going to be our pleasure to watch him grow and discover these gifts as we look around and discover this from each other as well. They're just waiting to be developed and used to his glory. And all these gifts are important and valuable to God's work in our lives. There's no gift that is more important than another. All the gifts are important, and we need each other, and we need all the different gifts. And it's up to us individually and together to help to develop the gifts that are in us and to use them to glorify God and bless ourselves and others. So when we use our gifts in the area that we're passionate about, our ministry will be most effective and fulfilling, and it won't seem hard because it's part of who we are and it becomes our passion and it's something that we really want to do. We almost can't help it. So using our gifts in service becomes a source of blessing and joy, not only for ourselves but for others as well. So in the newsletter this week that was emailed out to everybody, you'll find a spiritual gifts assessment, and that will help you discover your dominant spiritual gifts, along with, there was also another document that explains the description of a lot of those gifts that were listed before to help you understand what your gifts might be about. I'd like to encourage you all to print out that assessment and answer the questions. It's just a quiz. To help you discover something about yourself, discover your gifts. And if you'd like a hard copy, I believe there are some at the back of the church as well, if you'd like to pick one up. And if you do it, and I really hope you do, and discover these gifts that are in you, and if you want to chat about any of your results, and if you identify an area that perhaps you'd like to serve in here, don't hesitate to talk to Pastor Neville or Sue about that, and they can help you. And when you find out, share this with the people around you, because they know you best and they can help to encourage you and encourage one another. And as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, encourage one another and build one another up. So now I'm just going to give a little plug for Focus Living. If you'd like to know more about our Focus Living course that we run here, please speak to myself or David Bergman, who's not here today, or Chris and David Paik or any of the Focus Living team any time at all. And we currently do have a course running, but we'll be running them again in the near future as well. So thank you.
Thanks, Trina. Thank you for encouraging us. Would you encourage Trina and her people on Focus Living by just thanking her? Great work. So at the back of the church, if you're a visitor for us today, there is the spiritual gift assessment. I filled out mine, and I just find it ever so encouraging, even just doing it. So be encouraged. I'm not all that creative, but God has given me some gifts that I thank God for. And just that information about those spiritual gifts, they're available to you just as you leave the church today. Our People and Culture team is a volunteer group here. They're also working on some ways that if you'd like to serve with your gifts, that you can let us know about that and invite you into that space, because there's always good opportunity for your giving of gifts. Just as we see people up front in bands and people up the back in tech spaces, lots of opportunities. I encourage you in them. As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. God's household, as you look around, is made up of many wonderful different sizes and shapes and parts of the journey in life. God gives the gift of life for us and in us. Christians all share this same God-given gift that we can make our confession of faith from our hearts with. But we all have different gifts to use in giving as God gives. And in the coming weeks ahead, we're going to explore that in some more detail. But for now, let's pray. Father, thank you for the gift of faith that your Spirit works in our hearts to bring us to Jesus, who is your most precious gift for the whole world. Empower us by your Spirit to be nurtured by you, to grow in our faith, and to learn and to use our gifts for the service of others. In Jesus' name, Amen. And the peace of God, which goes beyond our human understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.